or not a poll, but a survey was taken, we're number 23 among nations of level of happiness. There are third world countries that are happier than we are.
That's right.
And I know that to be a fact because I've been in Philippines over there, and the little kids ain't got nothing. They're living in cardboard shacks, and they come to church and they just smile and sing and smile and sing. They ain't got nothing. And I want to tell you something here today. If there's something that I'm strong on, and that is biblical hope.
Yes.
Now you listen to me right now. The object of this message is that God would, you would this morning embrace biblical hope into your heart, that nothing that ever happens to you could shake it loose from you.
Amen.
I mean, no matter what storm hits you, whether it's financial, whether it's health storms, whether it's marital storms, no matter what kind of storm, whether it's the death of a loved one. I know people sitting in here today that's lost their spouse. I know people here today seem like they just moved from one storm to another. But I see them showing up at church with a smile on their face, Jesus in their heart, and the Bible in their lap, and they're still worshiping God.
Yeah.
And I want to tell you young people something. You're living in a generation of pill popping, bottle drinking, needle shooting people that ain't got no hope.
Yep.
And I'm telling you something, in this church,
amen,
this preacher is going to tell you today from this book, yep, about how you can have hope in the midst of every storm you're ever going to think about going through.
Amen.
And so we're going to get at that this morning. In first, you just listen for a while. I doubt if you can stay up with me, but you can try if you want to, boys. I appreciate you. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 1, the Bible says this, God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. I want you to get this down, number one. Jesus Christ is your hope, the only hope you have. There is no hope in this world apart from Jesus Christ, which is our hope, God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Let me say distinctly and clearly, the government is not your hope.
Amen.
Donald Trump is not my hope.
Amen.
I hope he gets elected over Joe Biden, but he ain't my hope.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to tell you something. Social Security is not my hope.
Amen.
Money is not my hope. Possessions are not my hope. Health is not my hope. And I hate to tell you this, even my brothers and sisters in Christ are not my hope. And you better say, Reggie, you ain't my hope either, amen.
Amen.
Jesus is our hope this morning.
Amen.
Romans 15, verse 13 says, now the God of hope, the God that we came this morning to worship, is called the God of hope.
Yes.
He's a God of hope.
Yes.
And we're going to talk about what hope really is in just a minute. Now the God of hope, fill you.
Yes.
Fill you. With all joy and peace in believing that she may abound in hope. You know what will take you through the storms is having joy and peace in believing and abounding in hope, that no matter how dark the day may be in your life, no matter how much troubles come your way, that you still have hope in God. Through the power of the Holy Ghost. I want to read that verse to you again. Now the God of hope fill you.
Amen.
With all joy. I told you I was a crying, but I'm a laughing too, amen. I've got joy in the midst of my sorrows, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 says, that as the children of God, those who are saved, that we don't sorrow as the others which have no hope. Let me tell you today, if you don't have Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have no hope. Ephesians 2:12 says that the lost, having no hope and without God in this world, B.R. Lincoln said that's probably one of the saddest verses that he knew of in the Bible, is for a person to be without hope and without God in this world.
Amen.
Romans 4:18 says, Abraham, who against hope believed in hope. I love that verse, amen. I'm fixing to get fired up, amen. I'll tell you something this morning. I like Abraham, who against hope. You say, what was he talking about? God had promised him a child. He got to be 100 years old. He said, I still believe God. She was 90. She said, I still believe God. He said, I give up. If God said it, it's going to happen, amen. Oh, you listen to me. When it gets to where it's impossible for man, then's when God steps in and shows his glory and his power. And don't you ever quit believing. believe in God. Don't you ever despair. Don't you ever get up. Don't you ever quit on God. Don't you ever crawl back in the hole and give up and say, I don't think God will do it. He's going to do everything he said he'd ever do. Oh, 1 Corinthians 15:9 says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're most of all men most miserable. 1 Peter 3:15 says that we're to have an answer for the reason of the hope that lieth within us. Amen. I've got an answer. And the Bible said in Romans 8:20, for the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Now, you want to give you a little something this morning. That verse is telling you in old hillbilly language that God is going to take you after you believed on him, and he's going to subject you into a place where you can't see him. You can't figure out what he's doing. You can't understand it. You may be confused. He's subjecting you into hope. You don't see. If you're hoping, you don't see it. But he said, I'm going to subject you in it. And in that, your faith is sustaining you through hope. The Bible said, verse 24 of Romans chapter 8, for we are saved by hope. Don't you ever discount the word hope. The word hope is one of the most important verses in the Christian's lives. It's one of the most important words in the Word of God. Don't you ever discount hope, because God, you're going to go through some storms where if you don't have hope in God, it's going to take you under, buddy. Why do you think there's so many people in America overdosing, killing themselves, committing suicide? Suicide's what is the number one killer of American teenagers right now. Do you know why? It's because they were taught that stinking stupid evolutionary lie in the public school, and they have no hope, amen. And there's no, what am I living for? What's my purpose? Why am I here? Where did I come from? Where am I going? They have no answer. There's no hope. Amen. Verse 25 says, but if we hope for that we see not, then we with patience wait for it. Amen. I'm telling you something. You're going to go through storms when you're not going to see it, when you're not going to understand it, when nobody's going to have an answer, and you're just going to have to say, I believe God anyway. Yeah. I believe God anyway in the face of the circumstances. Yeah. I believe God anyway. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I ain't never seen Jesus. Nope. I ain't never seen heaven. Right. But I believe. Amen. And my faith comes from this book that he gave me. That's why I hang to this book. You take this book away from me, tell me it's got lies in it, my hope's gone. Yeah. Hebrews 11 says that Moses, watch this, endured as seeing him who is invisible. What's it talking about? He had a hope in God even when he couldn't see God. Yeah. He endured by seeing him who is invisible. I'm not up here playing popcorn religion with you this morning. You're going to go through rough, tough deals in your life. You're going to go through stuff you never dreamed you'd be into. You're going to go through stuff you look back and say, I never dreamed when I was 12 years old that I would get hit with all this garbage and all this junk. And you're going, only way you're going to endure is by seeing him who is invisible this morning. Oh, listen, Romans chapter 15 and verse 4 says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime, that's in the Old Testament, written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. So God's saying, Reggie, I want you to go back to the Old Testament, and I want you to study those men's lives. And in studying them, you're going to learn what hope's all about. And through that, you'll get comfort. Through that, you'll endure, because you see what God did through their lives. In the Old Testament, there is a man who represents and encases and embodies the entire doctrine of hope in the New Testament. And in looking at this man, we really understand this issue of hope. Because when you're hoping for something and you're living in hope, you can't see it. I mean, have you ever wondered really what's going to happen to you when you die?
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you ever wondered what will be the first second of my experience after I take my last breath?
Yeah.
Have you ever wondered what is it like on the other side?
Yeah.
The only thing you've got to tell you is this book.
Amen.
And God wants you to put your hope in that book.
Amen.
God said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord.
Amen.
I have that hope.
Amen.
Now, Joseph is a picture of hope. He is the example of the doctrine of hope in the Bible. Now I want you to get the definition of biblical hope, because worldly hope, humanistic hope, is totally different than biblical hope. And Satan always wants to mess you up by redefining words, reapplying words, making them what they don't believe. Hope is the well-founded, well-grounded knowing that what God said he would do, he's going to do it. Amen. That's biblical hope. Yes. Hope is not wishing in humanistic terms. You say, well, I hope it rains tomorrow. That's a humanistic hope. I don't have any control over the rain. I don't know if it's going to rain or not, but my hope, it's not wishing. Hope is not humanistic wishing. Right. True hope is built upon the Bible and what it says. Yes. What is the opposite of hope? Despair. Yes. You give up on God.
Yeah.
Despair. Pilgrim's Progress, John Bunyan wrote, talks about the giant of despair. He is a giant. He knew what he's talking about it. A spiritual giant called despair will come to you and say, I've tried to live for God. I tried to serve God. Now look how it's turning out. It's not going to work. I can't see how God's going to do this. Yeah. Everything I ever dreamed for, everything I ever wanted, is not occurring like I thought it should happen. And so you despair, or things get so bad, you just despair and give up, and you don't have any hope about anything. And can I tell you, there's not anybody more miserable to be around than a person who has despaired and given up hope.
Yeah.
And I want to tell you something. Money is not going to be an anchor or a solid rock for you for hope whenever you need it. The opposite of hope is despair. Despair is to give up on God, to come to believe that there is no biblically based hope, and that God will not fulfill his word in your life. That's despair. What happens is, when people do that, that despair manifests itself in different ways. Some people get depressed, get discouraged, cut themselves off from the world. Other people say, you know what? I've just given up on God, so I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow I die. That is despair. I'm just going to live it up while I can, because I've given up on the promises of God.
Yeah.
The ground or basis, what is the ground or the basis of true hope? It's this Bible right here. This is why I mean to tell you, I will fight to my dying breath for the authority and the preservation and the accuracy and the power of the Word of God. Because without this Bible, I have no hope. If the things that we hope for, our hopes are based and grounded upon a clear promise of God, we can have hope. Now watch me, because if you don't have a clear principle or clear promise from the Word of God, you have no business, I have no business, in establishing or building a hope that is not in the Word of God.
Amen.
Now we need to tread carefully here. I want you to listen to me carefully. What Satan is a master at is to get us to set our hope upon God about a matter that is not clearly set forth in Scripture.
Yeah. Right.
To get you to place your hope in something, okay, that you can't honestly say, the Bible promised me this.
Yeah.
Then when it doesn't happen,
yeah. That's
I'm done.
Yeah.
God, I don't trust the Lord anymore about things.
Yeah.
He's a master at it to get you to put your hope in something that is not clearly principle or given in the Word of God. He sets us up for a fall. Let me give you an example of what's happening in America. These clowns get up behind the TV. I don't even name their name. They'll get up, you know, and they'll say about, it's God's will for you to be wealthy. And it's God's will for you to have your best life now. And it's God's will for you to be healthy. And if you were living right, and you need to claim it and name it and claim it and all that kind of stuff. Then when it doesn't happen, see, nobody knows how to count the people in America across the world who put their faith in, if you send us $50, God will give you $1,000.
Yeah.
Nobody knows where all these people and the despair and the giving up of God and the throwing away of God in their life because of those hucksters, those clowns, those stinking thieves that got behind the word of the pulpit of God and caused people to put hope in that which God never promised. So when it didn't happen, I'm out. I'm done. And nobody can count. Nobody wants to count.
Yeah.
The millions of people who've been given a false hope by preachers or Satan The Bible says that sometimes, all of that we need to understand from the Bible, that Satan takes a delay of hope and turns it into what you think is a denial. Let me give you a great truth about hope this morning. Delayed hope from God is not denial of hope.
That's right. That's right.
Go back to Abraham. Delay, 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 delay. Lord, when's this going to happen? Can you imagine Satan coming up and say it'll never happen?
Yeah.
Satan will come up and say, God's lied to you.
Yeah.
I'm telling you something. If you want to know one thing about this preacher, I am a preacher who believes and lives in day by day, moment by moment, hope in my Lord that he'll never lie to me, that I may not see it. There are some things that you hope for that you won't even see in your lifetime, but God will bring it to fruition even after you're gone.
Yeah.
Don't ever give up hope.
Yeah.
Hope deferred, the Bible said in the book of Proverbs, maketh the heart sick. It's dangerous to place your hope in anything outside the Bible. Hope is vital and critical component of your Christian experience. And the Christian life is a journey of hope in and through the storms of life. Never allow yourself to be robbed of biblical hope. As I said earlier, hope is not wishing. Hope is not, watch this, hope is not the desire that God will violate his word.
Right.
Many people's hope is that their sin won't find them out.
Yeah.
Many of them's hope is that God will just let it slide. Yeah. You've got a misplaced hope. God will not do that. God is not going to violate his word.
Amen.
You are going to reap what you sow. I'm going to reap what you sow. You can bank on it.
Yeah.
Proverbs 11:28 says, watch this, the expectation of the wicked shall perish. The word expectation is a related word to hope, because we have an expectation based upon what you believe. And the Bible said that the wicked's expectation will perish. I had a man tell me one time, and I was witness to him. He said, don't even talk to me about that, Reg. He said, when I die, I'm just going to the dirt and that's it. There's no afterlife. Let me tell you something right now. If he never got saved, he's in hell screaming right now, weeping and wailing and gnashing his teeth. His expectation perished when he died. He didn't expect God to hold him accountable. He didn't expect there to be an afterlife, but it is. Proverbs 11 says, the hope of unjust men perish. You're hoping there's no hell. You're hoping there's no judgment. You're hoping that won't happen. The great servants of the Lord and victorious Christians are those who learn to harness hope. We find the promise of Scripture and bear hold of it. And I will tell you this, back when I started preaching,
got
my back. Thank you. I appreciate it. And I mean it with all my heart. Anybody else want to get my back? You're welcome to. He's big enough to handle it. Amen. He's got my back. Let me tell you something about this thing. When I was a young preacher and I started preaching and the attacks came, because I promised God the night I surrendered to preach, I said, God, if you'll put it in me, I'll preach it. And God, I said, I do not want to be a preacher that's scared to preach the word of God, but God, you're going to have to do something in me to make me absolutely unafraid to preach the Bible. God gave me a promise in his word. Listen to it. It's Isaiah 41:10. I mean, it's just like God said, Reggie, here it is. He said, this, fear thou not, for I am with thee.
Amen.
God promised me, Brother Michael, I will be with thee.
Amen.
He said this, I will strengthen thee. He's done it. He said, I will never leave thee. He's done it. He said, be not dismayed. I am telling you something. God gave me his promise, and for 42 years, God has kept his promise to me as a servant of the Lord. I'm telling you this morning, put your hope in a definite promise of God Almighty, and he'll do exactly what he said he would do.
Amen.
Amen. I'm talking this morning, this, we can get down and defeated and depressed and despaired and devastated. And I know what that's like. I'm fighting that now. But I'm telling you what, I walk across my yard and I walk back to the pasture and I lay hold of the word of God. And I say, God, your word says this and your word says that. And God, it don't look good right now. And God, it looks bad right now. But God, I know in the end you're going to come through and you're going to tear the devil's garden up. Amen.
Amen.
I don't tell you, loss of hope will do something. You listen listen to me, to young people, please get a hold of this. A loss of hope will dampen your dreams. A loss of hope will empty your enthusiasm. A loss of hope will exit your excitement. A loss of hope will cloud your vision. A loss of hope will deaden your devotion. You have got to make sure that the devil never steals your hope from you. But oh, we settle down into the valley of quote reality. In practice and truth, we do not believe that all things are possible with God. In practice and truth, we think some things are just too hard for God. But the Bible said that all things are possible to him that believeth. I want to talk to you preachers for just a minute. I want to tell you something. God gave me a hope when I started preaching. I told God, you say, I don't like that. I don't care if you do or not. I said, God, I don't want to be a normal preacher and don't want to pastor a normal church.
Amen.
We got enough of that in this country. I said, God, I want you to do something supernatural. Your word says, watch it. I'll put this in his word. Now unto him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we think according to the power of the work within us. I said, God, your word says you're able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we have. I want to tell you, preacher, something this morning. I said, no, some of you don't know where you're headed. You don't know what God's going to do with you. But I want you to have hope that if he called you, he's called you to do a work for him that's worthy of everything you've got in you. I'm telling you something. God keeps his promises. Amen. A tragedy of life is not what happens to us, but what we miss when hope is taken away from us. That's the tragedy of life. Not what's happening to us. It's what we miss when we just let hope go. Acts 27 verse 27 said, and when neither sun nor moon nor stars in many days, when neither sun nor stars, what's this, in many days appeared. Have you ever went through life when the sun and the stars wasn't appearing, it's all dark?
Yeah.
Went day after day, maybe week after week and month after month. Then it says, and no small tempest lay on us. He's going through a storm. All hope that we should be saved was taken away. And the old apostle Paul jumped up and said, wait a minute, wait a minute. The Lord stood by me this night. And he said, be of good cheer. We're all going to land. Amen. I'm going to tell you, there's a man who had hope in the midst of when your life was dark, when the storm clouds were raging, when the lightning was striking. He stood up and said, God promised me. God told me he's taking me through. God told me he's taking you all through. And you believe God. And he said this, sirs, I believe God.
Amen. Right.
I believe God.
Amen.
I'm challenging you this morning. That's why I beg you, read your Bible. Grab hold of the promises of God about your life and believe God against all odds. Don't stagger at the lies of the devil. Believe God about it. Amen.
Amen.
This is the crux of the message. When circumstances of life have taken away all hope in your life, there is still hope because of him who lives in us, and he is our hope. And we're going to see it this morning very quickly in the life of Joseph. If you have your Bible in chapter 37, I want to preach you a message that I have preached four or five times in my life called When Is Not Is. When Is Not Is. Some of you, this it'll help if you're acquainted with the story of Joseph. But for time's sake, I'm going to go quickly and assume that you know somewhat about Joseph's life. First of all, we find in Genesis chapter 30 and verse 22 that Joseph, who is a picture of hope, was delivered. Now you listen to me. God had promised a seed. God had promised, and God was delivering, and God delivered. Can I tell you something? Our Heavenly Father prophesied in the Old Testament, Brother Jason, that he would send and deliver, send us a deliverer. And John, in the night of Bethlehem, I'm telling you, Jesus Christ, our Savior, was born of a virgin, conceived of the Holy Ghost, and God delivered a Savior to die for the sins of this world. And let me tell you something, when you get saved, God delivers hope into your heart and into your life. Can I tell you what? That Jesus was delivered to Calvary, and he died for our sins. And it's through that death and that burial and that resurrection that I have hope in Christ today. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest by name, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Amen. You listen to me. Hope was delivered to me on January the 24th in 1982. And I tell you what, I've got 5 gallons of spare this morning. You want some hope? I've got some extra for you this morning. Amen. I'm telling you right now, God gave me hope when Jesus Christ was delivered into this world. Amen.
Amen.
You don't ever put your hope in anybody else or anything else. You say, well, my hope is in my wife. What's going to happen when she leaves you?
Come on.
What about your husband when he leaves you?
Come on.
Oh, yes, I got hope in my children. What about when they leave you?
Yeah.
I got hope in my money. What about when you go broke? Bible said riches can fly away like the wings of an eagle. Yeah. I'll tell you something. I've got hope in my health and my strength. What about when you can't pick yourself? I'll tell you this week. Now, listen to me. I'm getting off the track here a little bit, boy. I talk about humbling me down. Uh-huh. I can't tie my shoes.
Yep.
Come on.
My stinking back's so messed up, I cannot bend down and tie. And having Karen to put my foot up, I just feel like a dog. All I can think about is what my daddy used to say, once a man, twice a child. She's back to tying the baby shoes. My hope is not in my health.
Yeah.
My hope is not in how good I feel.
Yeah.
My hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Let me say another thing. Hope, Joseph, his name means adding. And hope was not only delivered, but hope was designated. I'm going to tell you something. Rachel was the firstborn. Listen to me tight. Joseph wanted Rachel. That was his wife. And she was not given to him till later. Jacob considered Joseph his firstborn.
Yeah.
And he was designated.
Yeah.
Now listen to me. You say, Rachel, what are you talking about? I'm talking about that Jesus Christ was designated as the only Savior. He is designated as the Son of God. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man come to the Father. Joseph was designated. Jesus Christ is the first begotten, right? The only begotten Son of God. I'm telling you, he was not just delivered for us, but he was designated to us as our Savior. Number three, Joseph was dressed. I love this, amen. How many members of Jacob put a coat of many colors on him?
Amen.
Well, he sure did. Hey, boy, I like this back here. I'll tell you what, I like it, amen. I'm telling you, man, I like it. I appreciate it, man. I'll tell you, I do. Marcus.
Yes, sir.
You can't ever leave unless I say so, and you yes, can't say, I never say so.
Yes, sir.
How many would recognize his voice if he was in Philadelphia?
Yes.
I love all the rest of you guys. He keeps it, amen, amen, amen. I like it, amen. Let me give you the first thing. He was delivered and designated, and that coat was a coat of what?
Many colors.
You don't reckon. You don't reckon. That white people, black people, yellow people, red people.
Yeah, come on.
Yep. You don't reckon Jesus is the hope for all colors.
Amen.
Yes, it is.
Come on.
Yes.
That'll get my back in shape, amen. Hey, he was dressed in a coat of many colors.
Come on.
Jesus tasted death for every man.
Amen.
Woo! It's in this book, amen.
Amen.
Let me tell you, not only that, but it represented hope for the future.
Yes.
Every color, it represented who he was. Did you know that robe, coat of many colors, speaks of Jesus Christ's righteousness?
Yes.
Now, let me talk to you a minute. Brother, that coat speaks of the righteousness of Christ that's imputed to us by faith.
Yes.
And when Joseph come walking, well, listen to me, walking down the street, it was not to be in pride. It was not to be in arrogance, but it was to say that man is dressed, watch this, differently than other people.
Amen.
Yes. Anybody that is dressed in the righteousness of Christ ought to be different than the rest of this world.
Amen.
You ought to be, can I say something to you? Not pride, but there ought to be something in us that says, I'm going to walk different, I'm going to talk different, I'm going to live different than this world, and people will see it on the outside. That's why it's important for you to be modest. That's why it's important for you to dress like a man. That's why it's important for you to tell the truth. That's why you're not lying business. I am telling you something. We're dressed in the righteousness of Christ, and we represent somebody.
Amen.
Amen.
Yep.
That's good preaching. I don't care if I am doing it.
Amen.
Amen. We're not dressed in worldliness.
Amen.
We're dressed in different garb.
Amen.
But let me tell you something. Hope is not just delivered. Hope is not just designated. Hope is not just dressed. Now listen to me tight. Hope is despised.
Yes,
yes, sir.
Right.
You know that. Go out and tell somebody, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's my only hope. And they'll go,
yep.
Christ and those who follow him will be despised. Jesus said, marvel not that the world hates you. Oh, they don't mind if you're some little old willy-nilly walking tulip two patches. If you don't care, you're just trying to live the world and go to church. They don't care about that. They think that's great. But if you really come out for Christ, yes, and you wear the robe of righteousness in public, and you do what the Bible says and obey the Bible in every arena of life, they're going to hate your guts. Right. It brings condemnation upon them. We're bearing his reproach. But by Isaiah chapter 53 said, he is despised and rejected. What makes you think that this world will like you?
Come on.
Hey, you think about answering a call to preach? When you preach, you're going to be despised and rejected. Right. Norwood hates my guts. Yeah. Some of them pray for the day I die. I don't go along with their Baal temple over here.
Yeah.
All these preachers that eat at Jezebel's table. Oh, you want me to hear me preach a message someday? Someday I'll preach a message here, eating at Jezebel's table. That's what most preachers in this country are doing. They're bowing down to Baal and going to church on Sunday. Amen. But I want to tell you, not only is hope despised, but hope also has dreams. How many members of Joseph had some dreams? Can I tell you something? It don't hurt you to have some dreams about life. It don't hurt you to have a vision for what God wants you to do in life and what you can be in life and make your life count for God's sake. That you ought to go through. The Bible said, therefore, beloved brother, he said, for as much as you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain.
Amen.
Hey, get some dreams out there. Amen.
Amen.
Can I just say something? It's springtime. Why don't you go out and enjoy it?
Amen.
Yes, sir. Take your good old walk and just walk through the woods and look at the red buds, and the dogwoods will be out in a few days. And them yellow Easter lilies, ain't they pretty? I want to tell you something. Enjoy your life, amen. And have a vision about what can I do for God's glory. And have a vision. You know what? Some of you need to have a vision for what you can do with your family, how you can affect the world for Jesus Christ, how you can do something for God and make your life count. Get a vision for God, amen.
Amen.
Oh, listen to me. We need some people that's got a dream about. I'm going to be honest with you. I tell you, when I started preaching, I'm honest with you. I just said, God, I want you to do something. I'm glad I stayed in the saddle, amen.
Amen.
I'll tell you what God's doing with this work right now is absolutely a miracle of Almighty God. That's just the honest truth.
Amen.
The people we're reaching in New Zealand and Australia and Canada and England and all over the globe, it's a miracle of Almighty God.
Amen.
Dream big, amen.
Amen.
I had a dream. I did. I'm telling you something. I feel sorry for you. I'm not talking about eat bologna and onions dream tonight. I'm talking about a dream based upon the word of God. Amen.
Amen.
Do something for God. Be something for God.
Yes.
Brother Joel's got a dream about a deal that when people could come to it from all around the world. And Joel, don't you give up on that dream. Don't you give up on that hope. Don't you give up on that vision. Did not God give you that vision that night down there at Branson, right? I'm going to tell you something. I'm just saying, let her rip, amen. I don't care how dark it looks. I don't care how impossible it looks. Keep dreaming for God, amen.
Amen.
Let me just tell you something. You say, Reggie, you got any vision, dreams? Yes, sir. And they're not idle dreams. I'm a dreaming of a new body.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Amen.
I'm a dreaming of a hope beyond this world.
Yes.
I'm dreaming of when I get to be present with my Lord. I'm dreaming of a new earth and a new heaven wherein dwelleth righteousness. Amen. Ain't no copperhead snakes and ain't no bad spiders. Amen. I'm dreaming of a new world where there's no sin and the devil's in the lake of fire, and I'll forever be with my Lord, and there'll be no more tears and there'll be no more sorrow and there'll be no more pain. I'll tell you something. I've got hope in God's word about it, amen.
Amen.
Oh, yes, sir. I'm a dreamer of that day when I see him throw the devil in the lake of fire.
Yes.
I'm going to jump and shout and run up down and do somersaults and say glory to God, hallelujah, and forever he'll be in that lake of fire.
Amen.
You say, I don't like that. I don't like the devil, amen. I don't like him at all. I've been fighting him 42 years. I'm sick of him. So number one, we see that Joseph is a picture of hope. But here's gift, and we're going to get deep now. There's problems when you have hope.
Yeah.
Hope will be mistreated.
Yeah.
Remember Joseph's a picture of hope?
Yeah.
What'd they do with him? He come down through there, and they despised and rejected him. What'd they do? They mistreated him. Don't think if you get hope in Christ that everybody's going to say, well, that's just wonderful.
Yeah.
If you think the devil's going to be all tickled for you to have hope in Jesus Christ, he's going to mistreat you. He's going to say things are going to be bad happen to you. Can I tell you something? Jesus, my hope, is mistreated by this world. The schools don't want him. News media don't want him. Ain't nobody wants Jesus. He's mistreated by this world. He ought to be worshipped. He ought to be bowed down to. He ought to be glorified. He ought to be worshipped. But they don't even want him in their school curriculum. Other than maybe some historical figure along with Muhammad. That's a blasphemous mess if I ever seen one. I wouldn't let my kids go to, you think I'd let my kids go to a place that treats Jesus Christ like that? You're lost your ever living mind. Ain't happening. Didn't happen. Not only is hope be mistreated, but hope will be mocked. They said, here comes this dreamer. I tell you, God give you hope, and you say, I'll tell you what, I don't think I'm going to do something for God. And like, you can't do that now. That's impossible. You can't do that. The world's full of them guys. Get away from them. Stay away from them. I tell you what, believe God for great things. Amen. I believe God could do something with the people of this church that you and I don't even know. I don't know. I'm just stupid enough to believe that God reaches down in the middle of the country and gets some people. Aren't you glad you don't live in a big city? Amen. Well, anyway, hope will be mocked. They mocked him over there in chapter 37 and verse number 18. And they said, here comes this dreamer. And they mocked him. I want to tell you something. Jesus, our hope, did you know what happened to him? As he was brought into Pilate's hall, they mocked him, the Bible said. And when he was on the cross, they mocked him. And they said, if you're the Son of God, come down off the cross. Hey, expect your hopes to be mocked. What are they trying to do? Cause you to lose your hope.
Amen.
So when mocking comes, know you're on the right side of it.
Come on, man.
Oh, Reg Kelly, he'd be a nice guy if he wasn't such a fanatic. He went off on the deep end. I sure did. Amen. I'm glad I did.
Amen.
Don't be afraid to place your hope in Jesus Christ and by let him mock. I get mocked over my belief in the Authorized Version Bible. I get mocked over, hey, let's have children. Let's let God give us children. I get mocked over modesty. I get mocked for all kinds of things I preach. Let them mock. Amen. Let them mock.
Amen.
We'll see who's mocking at the judgment seat. Amen. We'll see who's mocking at the judgment. But hope is, I want you to get this. Hope is mistreated. Hope is mocked. But in chapter 37, 28, it tells you that your hope, watch this, will be misplaced. Now, I don't mean that you don't have hope you shouldn't have, but what did they do with him? They took hope and put him in a pit. And if you have hope in Jesus Christ, there'll be a time. I want to ask you a question. Was Jesus not put into a grave? Did he not go in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights? It's going to teach them about hope now. Watch this. Hope at this point in your Christian journey through the storms is out of sight. Now you get this if you don't get anything else. You're going to spend a lot of your Christian life with hope out of sight. You just cannot see it. I mean, it's just the way it is, folks. It's the way God's designed it. And your hope will be like it's gone.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but I have went through some things where it's just like gone.
Come on, preach it fast.
And I want you to get this. Hope is still there,
yes, it is.
Even when you can't see it.
That's right.
Watch this.
That's
is
right.
Not, is.
That's right.
Did you know that I think it's four times Joseph's brethren called him is not? They would never say his name. They just always said, one is not. And let me tell you what the devil and his crowd will do. They'll tell you your hope is not. Your hope is not. It's gone. You just won't forget about it. Some of you in here, you know, let's just be real. You're hoping to build a house. The devil's going to tell you is not. Some of you hoping for a child. The devil say is not. I mean, you can apply this every way you want to. Some of you that are not married, the devil say you'll never be married. He told me that. You'll never be married. Marriage is not for you. I guess marriage is not for some people, but it will be. I'm just saying, there's a lot of areas of life where he'll try to tell you, is not. Is not, it's gone. Misplaced, hidden from sight. This is going to happen to you. And I want you to listen closely now. The problems with hope are, number one, hope will be mistreated.
Yes.
They mock it. And they'll misplace it. But hope's going to be misrepresented. And right here, I just want you to tie your boat up. In chapter 37 and verse 31, the brothers of Joseph took that coat of many colors and they tore it up and they dipped it in a lamb's blood. And they brought it to their daddy. And if Brother Bill was Jacob right here, they said, "Tell us, is this your son's coat or no? Don't miss this." Jacob is a picture of you and I as a believer. Joseph, a picture of Christ. His brethren are a picture of the world and how they're going to try to mock and misplace and steal the hope from you. And here's how they're going to try to do it. They came walking up to their daddy with that torn, bloody coat of many colors.
Yep.
Is this your son's coat or no? And this is what Jacob said. And this is the moment that you need to reach down in your heart with everything you've got. Don't do what Jacob did. He said, "No doubt Jacob or Joseph is rent in two and eaten by a beast." What would you think if everything you ever dreamed of? By the way, there are people in this auditorium today, probably listening online, who the dreams that you had, Satan has come up to you and said, "Here's what's left of your dreams." Now you listen to me. The Bible teaches you clearly that Satan is a liar.
That's right.
Amen.
What were those brothers doing?
Deceiving.
They lied to mom and dad. But the deeper story is this: they were trying to steal his hope.
Yeah.
I love the Lord Jesus Christ, and one of the reasons I love him so much is because as wicked as I am, and as the hell deserving I am, he still loves me.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
And he's given me hope.
Yes.
And he's given me promises. And the mistakes and the things that I've done wrong in life that were stupid, he's never left me without his promise.
Amen.
But here's what I want you to know about your hope. They're going to bring it up to you, and Brett, they're going to come dragging it up. And the message is, hope is absolutely, totally, forever gone.
Yeah.
That was the message they were sending to their daddy. To you as a believer, this is what Satan will do. There is no hope. Here's the blood. Here's the torn coat. It's over.
Yep.
Listen to me real, real careful right now. I don't know the spiritual condition, the mindset of people who are listening in this auditorium, who may be listening online, or who will listen down the road. But this business is not a joke. And I want to tell you why. Because when you get somebody that pulls a pistol out of their drawer and puts it beside their head, you're looking at somebody who has been told by Satan the coat is torn, it's bloody, your hope is totally and forever gone. And I don't want you to ever forget what I'm preaching to you right now. That is exactly when Satan is lying his head off at you.
Amen.
Is Jesus Christ not our hope?
Yeah.
Is he not eternal?
Yeah.
Is he alive forevermore?
Yeah.
It can never happen.
That's right.
Don't you ever let the devil come dragging some coat up that's been torn and bloody and making it look like it's gone forever. It's not. That's a lie.
That's right.
That is the moment crisis of your life.
Amen.
Yep.
Several years ago, somewhere around 2003, 2004 in there, and I don't enjoy saying this because, I mean, but I'm going to say it because I feel the Lord would have me to. I went, for the first time in my life, I went into depression. I, before that, almost laughed at people who said, "Get out of it." You know, I was like, "Get out of it. Just, that's just junk. You don't know." I'd had no idea. I'd never been depressed in my life. I very seldom am now. You know, I just think everything's great. God's coming back someday and I'm going to heaven. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. But I got depressed. I got so depressed I didn't even want to be around nobody, nothing. I couldn't see the good side of anybody or anything. And one afternoon I come in and I laid down on the bed there, and I ain't kidding you, it was like a growl out of hell. I keep a pistol right by my bed. It was like a growl out of hell said, right there's a pistol. You could put an end to all this. And I'm thank God that I just shook myself and said, where in the world did that garbage come from?
Yeah, right, right.
Now, I don't enjoy telling you that. That's not fun to tell, but I tell it because if Satan will do that to me, he'll probably try that on you. And I want you kids to remember your preacher. I love you. They're just everywhere around here. Don't you ever believe that lie out of hell. I don't care how dark the day is. I don't care how bad the storm is. I don't care how hopeless it looks. They were lying to Jacob. And Satan is lying to you. And there's a reason for you to live. And that purpose is to glorify God. And it may be through sorrow, and it may be through storms, and it may be through sufferings, but God's purpose is for you to glorify Him with your life. And I'm telling you something, don't you ever let the devil come dragging up your dreams all bloodied and torn. He's a liar.
Yes, he is.
This is not light stuff.
Amen.
Well, I know this. In verse 36, we have found hope is not dead. Hope is not devoured. Amen. They were lying to him. Now watch this. Brother Brett, if that was a lie and hope was not in the belly of some beast and hope's blood wasn't on that coat, where was hope? This will do you good to think this through. Where was he? Can anybody tell me where hope was while they were coming up with that big lie to their daddy? He was down in Egypt, exactly where God had appointed him to be, doing what God had him doing, and hope was really doing pretty good. Yeah. Can I tell you something? At your darkest night you've ever lived, Jesus is just fine. He's still there, amen. And he knows, hey, listen to me, if he knows where the sparrow falls, if he knows the number of the hairs on your head, he knows where you're at, he knows what you're going on through in life. And I'm telling you something, he is your hope, and he'll never forsake you, he'll never leave you, there'll never be a time. Don't let the devil tell you that. Well, I hope you guys ain't getting tired of falling. Well, I'm going to try to be quick. Now, let me say this to you. Hope was disowned. Not our brother. They sold him.
Yeah.
You can't disown somebody much more than selling them off. And so Jesus Christ has been disowned by this world. He came into his own, and his own received him not. Hope is defiled. Potiphar's wife, what'd she do? She defiled him and lied on him. Hope is dungeoned. He's been put in the dungeon down there, out of sight, out of mind. Jesus put in the grave. Disciples, what'd they do? I go fishing.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. The very verification of the concept and the reality of the doctrine of hope is you can't see Jesus.
Right.
You can't see heaven.
That's right.
Brother Jerry, I can't see him. I'm living today. I am preaching in hope.
Amen.
Total absolute hope.
Amen.
Hope, though, is never destroyed. Is down in Egypt. And by the way, Jesus Christ is in this world through his spirit.
Amen.
But oh, listen to me. This is good. Now hang on tight, and we're going to let you out of here as soon as I can. I want to go home too. But hope is disguised. Look at Genesis 42. And I'm going to give you, while you're turning there, get this and don't ever forget it. Watch this. The story of hope started in Genesis 30 and then in 37. But the fruitation was not till chapter 47. Watch this. You and I do not know how long it will be from the time of your hope to the fruition of your hope.
Yeah.
It may be a lot of chapters in your life.
Yeah.
Amen.
Get that one. There may be a lot of chapters from the time you got hope until your hope is fulfilled in Christ. All right? So he's disguised. Now, I love this. Chapter 42, verse number 7. The Bible said, now, here's the, you know the story. His brethren, they have a famine. His brothers come down there, and guess who they walk up to? Is not. And the Bible said that Joseph recognized them, right? But they didn't recognize him. Now, if you don't get one thing out of this message today, get this one, put it in your shirt pocket, your coat pocket, your virtue pocket. Don't ever forget it. When you don't recognize hope, hope always recognizes you.
Amen.
There's been so many times that I was standing right in front of hope. I thought hope was gone. And hope recognized me, Brother Pitfield. But I didn't recognize that God was working in my life.
Yes.
Get that thing. You're going to be wandering around, where is he? You think he's Joseph, is not. You're going to think there ain't no hope. And he's standing right in front of you.
Yes.
Some of you come to church today, hope is, not me, but hope, God is right in front of you.
Yeah.
It's not hopeless.
Right.
Well, if we wasn't a bunch of Presbyterians, we'd shout, amen. You may not recognize, watch this. I got some stuff going on in my life. I don't know what God's doing. I don't know why God's allowing it. But I know the hope is right there. And I know though I don't see into the dark, hope does. And I'll tell you what, it thrills my heart to know that even though I don't recognize the circumstances, what's going on, God does. And he's right there with his hope. Hope is delayed. Now, this is big. If you don't get this, you'll never understand hope. They go down to Egypt. Joseph, ruler of the land, they walk up to him, and it's so funny because they start off on this religious stuff. We're true men. Oh, really? Oh, really? They go telling him how righteous they are. We're true men. Oh, we sold our brother down to Egypt. We threw him in a pit and sold him down to Egypt, but we're true men. You can bank on us. We always tell the truth and do the truth. There's a problem. Why is there this distance in time between the foundation of our hope and the fruition of our hope? I hate to tell us all this, but we're not near as righteous as we think we are.
Amen.
You know what old Joseph did? The Bible said he made himself strange to them. And he spake roughly unto them. Why would God do that? Because God has to dig down inside here.
Amen.
And God said, Reggie, this journey of hope through the storms, I'm going to show you, you're not everything you think you are. You're not near as holy as you think you're not near as righteous as you think you are. And there's some stuff, watch this, before is not is, the fruitation, God's going to deal with us and he's going to dig in us. And he's going to bring us to the acknowledgement of who we really are, not who we're telling everybody else we are. And a lot of times, we're waiting for God to bring hope to fruitation. God's waiting for us to get right. This is how hope operates. Get it? You see, all we want God to do is get us corn and stuff down in Egypt. But we don't want God getting us right about things in life. And let me tell you something. Joseph was not going to reveal himself to them until they got honest with their own heart. And they would never see and find hope until they got right with God. Can I tell you, if you're here today and lost, you don't have any hope. And until you come to the place of admitting you're a sinner and deserve hell, and you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is the Son of God, and that he shed his blood for you and died on the cross for you, was buried and rose again the third day, and you come to God as a repentant sinner believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll never have hope.
Amen.
It's the only thing. Well, got to finish this thing out, and he deals with them, but he finally delivers, doesn't he? Oh, you want to read something precious. Go up to chapter 45. Chapter 45, man alive. You want to see something precious. Now, Brother Marcus, you were saying this morning that don't you think it's something God has to do to show you the Word of God, what it is, reveal himself? Did you know that's the truth about anything?
Yeah.
You dealing with God, God's the one that has to open your eyes.
Right.
I want you to look at this. Verse chapter 45. Joseph could not refrain himself from all them that stood by him. And he cried. Oh, this is good. Woo! Cause every man to go out for me. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you about God. He's going to deal with you individually. Yes. Privately. Yep. You individually. God is going to deal with in giving you hope. It's not going to be based on everybody else. Cause every man to go out with me. And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. I don't know how to articulate this. I don't know how to preach this or explain this. But there has to come a time in your life when after God has dealt with you and dug in your heart and he's working in your heart, that Jesus will reveal himself to you in a personal way.
Amen.
Yeah. It's not mom and daddy anymore. You in Christ.
Yeah.
And God revealed himself to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God, may it be in your life.
Yeah.
Joseph said unto his brethren, anybody want to read that? I am. I'm not is not, I am. And by the way, just throwing a little side note, that's the name of God Almighty.
Amen.
Great I am. And doth my father yet live? First thing you want to know is daddy still live. Okay. Jacob is a picture of the believer. He's interested. And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brother, verse 4, watch this. Come near to me. You know what Jesus is saying to you?
Amen.
And I pray you. And they came near and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold in Egypt. Look at verse number 5. Here's some great concept about hope. Sometimes, really be honest with you, oftentimes, we think that God has put us through a lot of bad stuff. And we don't know why. Why would God allow this to be on and in my life? And Joseph gives you the secret to hope here. What did he say? Be not grieved. You know what he's doing? Hope rises above personal vengeance and understands Romans 8:28, that all things are working together for good to them that love the Lord.
Amen.
And the bad things in life, God is working for our good and for his glory.
Amen.
This is hope, folks. This is biblical hope. It's pictured in the life of Joseph. Well, it's pretty wild. They say... It's so funny because in verse 13, one of the chapters says, they tell Joseph, one is not. Yeah, our father, we got a father, we got a brother, and one is not, and then there's us. And they're talking to him. Anyway, well, I think it's about time for me to shut the boat down, don't you? But I will tell you this. They went back up and told their daddy. Said Joseph is.
Yeah.
Amen.
And the Bible says something. Said Joseph's spirit revived.
Oh.
How many wonders why I come in here so excited every Sunday?
Amen.
I have hope.
Amen.
I have hope.
Amen.
And I want hope to flow out of this church to people.
Amen.
I want hope to flow out of every family, every individual. When you meet people Monday and Tuesday and stuff, and you run into people, let hope flow out of you.
Amen.
People are needing hope. They don't need despair. They got enough of it.
Yes.
Well, hope also has not only reviving power, but reuniting power.
Yes.
Brought them all back together. It has restoring power, restored their fellowship. It has resurrection power. Chapter 50, they took Joseph's bones and carried him back up into the land. And I just want to tell you all this morning this. I want to say, first of all, just stop back and tell you, I thank you for your patience and your long suffering to my preaching. How many bottom sides took all the spiritual activity you can take today? Sometimes. But I'm going to tell you this much. I appreciate you listening. I do. But I pour my heart into this thing.
Amen.
I mean, I just, boy, it's everything to me.
Amen.
And I just want to, I want you to know that I, as your preacher, I need your prayers. But to be honest with you, God did something to me many years ago. He just filled my old soul up with hope.
Yeah.
Amen.
And I just keep rolling and keep it going. And sometimes I don't know where I'm at or what I'm doing, but I know God's still in control. Amen.
Amen.
And I want to die in hope.
Amen.
When I die, I just want to turn around and wave goodbye this old sinful world.
Amen.
And I want to die in hope. Well-founded, well-grounded, knowing that what God said he would do, he would do. I'm preaching in hope. I'm laboring in hope.
That's right.
And I live my life in hope. Oh, I probably shouldn't tell this, but I will, and we'll go home. R.G. Lee was a great preacher, passed away now, a great preacher, but his grandpa was in the Confederate Army in the Civil War. And his mother, he had a bunch of kids, and his mother got back during the Civil War. They got word from the Confederate headquarters that he had been killed. And that, but they couldn't find his body, and no record, but they considered him to be dead. Well, Mrs. Lee, she's there with all them kids around her, and she told the kids one day, they started talking as if Daddy was dead. She said, "Don't you talk like Daddy's dead." She said, "I've been praying, and I believe God's whispered my soul that your daddy's still alive." And she said, "We ain't going to talk about Daddy like he's dead."
Right.
Went on. Civil War got over. No Daddy. One day she is on the porch doing peas, shelling peas. And she's picking them up, and she's shelling peas. And one of the little kids said, "Mama, look down yonder." And she said, way down that old gravel road, she said she saw a man coming with a stick doing like this. And she said, immediately I recognized it was my husband. And one of the children said this. She said, when Mama saw Daddy, he said peas went everywhere. She said, just that pan of peas just went up like that, and said Mama flew off that porch. Said her dress was a flying in the wind, and she run down that road. And she threw her arms around her husband. And she said, you know, I don't know what other people may say, but she said, in my spirit and in my heart, God kept telling me, he's not dead. He's not dead. And I had to believe. And she said, you know, and I got to reading that story, and I thought, you know, one of these days, sister, I'll be preaching with a patch of peas. And one of these days, the trump of God's going to sound.
Amen.
And the dead in Christ.
Amen.
And my hope's going to come in the clouds. Amen.
Amen.
And Danny, we're going to throw all the rest of it away, and we're going to grow up with our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand together and be dismissed.